To Parentes. Parentes drives in at the bucket and gets denied. He got denied by the Hokies. Lade was there. Henry was there. It's Hokie basketball with 0.4 seconds, and they're going to do it, Mikey.
They are the Pipes. One, John Lazer, the voice of the Hokies, who joins us each and every Wednesday. Brought to you by Cowan Gates. Personal injury, traffic violations, wills, trust, and more. 11 attorneys on staff. Cowan Gates, there for you in any case. Lays, how about those Hokies? 2-0 in the ACC. Nice call the other night.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
I don't know if we saw this coming, not mind at all, but I don't think we saw this. I mean, it's just, it's what, 8 days ago that Buzz has got that team in the locker room for 2 hours after the loss to West Virginia. I don't know what was said. Maybe you do, but what a response by this team the past two games.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I respond to that, I'm going to throw back on you, Wes, to my squirrel's days. Marcolini, I'm getting an echo.
We'll take care of that for you. We'll get that figured out.
I know, he always did in years past. Yep, there it goes. Good job, Brian. The general gist, I think, of that meeting, Wes, was the fact that he wanted to just go around to the guys individually and say, where's your fight? What are you individually fighting for? Where did you come from? What does this mean to you? Because, as he said very candidly, we're not good enough to go toe-to-toe in a premium basketball sense, and we need to do some things from an angle where our effort needs to be better, our physicality needs to be better, and our, you know, I know it's cliche, but our want to needs to be better. And whether or not that's just coach speak or basketball speech, it clearly has had an impact, and they fought back in that NC State game and I think gave themselves confidence going into that UVA game. Now, let me say that absolutely rang true. You could hear it in my voice right there, because throughout the course of the game, when you're playing a phenomenal team like Virginia, which they undeniably are, at any point in that game, you just feel like they're going to make a run and they're going to win the game. And then 8 minutes becomes six, and six becomes four, and four becomes two, and you're still in the lead, and then that lead expands, and then it almost goes away. And finally there, you could hear the relief, because that was, I think, a sense of the building right there, like, oh my, we're actually going to do this.
Because there's the belief, and there's always that thought when you play Virginia, and this year they've been much more better in the second half than in the first half. They're battle-tested. They know what it takes to win close games. This Virginia Tech team, program, Buzz, what he's doing, still trying to bring it all together. And there was that thought, like, all right, like when is Virginia going to overtake them in the second half? But what the biggest takeaway, what was most impressive, and I get what Buzz is saying about you got to put up a fight in terms of quality basketball, but every time Virginia came swinging, Virginia Tech had a counterpunch. Every single part of that game for the entire 40 minutes. That's what impressed me the most about that win.
Yeah, absolutely. And you survived that onslaught from Parentes coming out of the locker room. And you didn't necessarily know it was going to be from London, but you knew it was going to be from somebody. And you're right, that's what Virginia does. They let you hang around in the game, maybe not intentionally, but it seems to be that way. And then at some point, their efficiency gets to you, and you have a sloppy possession or two, and they don't, and all of a sudden what was a 3 or 4 point deficit becomes 10, and they pull away and beat you by 15. And you expected that to happen at some point, maybe about the 16-minute mark, the 12-minute mark of that second half, and it just never came. But you look at the way, going back to what Buzz was saying, Wes, about how they stayed in that game. You got Zach Lade, who's an unlikely candidate, although he can hit those shots, as we now know, taking three-pointers out of the offense. You've got Lade getting rejected three times and then somehow shoveling the ball out to Bibbs, who hits a three at a big time in that game. And, you know, those are the types of things that he's talking about. Unorthodox plays, it's not that they don't have a plan, but sometimes when that plan goes awry, which it's going to against a phenomenal team like Virginia, you have to adapt and do some things out of the ordinary. And to get that win, Virginia Tech certainly had a number of those that night.
As I said yesterday, in the end, in March, we know where Virginia will be. We don't know where Virginia Tech will be, but what we do know is everyone's kind of been put on alert that Virginia Tech is not going to be a doormat to walk over in the ACC. Up next for Lays, for the Hokies, you get your first game at Cameron Indoor. This got to be crossing one off the bucket list for you.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I'm excited about this. I'll be more excited about it. I understand that there's a catwalk that you broadcast from there that Mike and I are somehow going to have to negotiate carrying our 60-pound trunk of equipment up a ladder. So he's a bigger football-type body type, and I think he's going to be doing most of the heavy lifting on that. But in all sincerity, I'm a bit worried about that. But I also am exceptionally excited. It's also Buzz Williams' first game as a head coach down at Cameron Indoor Stadium. So if you missed it on Tech Talk Live last night, I said, Coach, what are you expecting the Cameron crazies to talk to you about? And he went down the list of about 10 things. Buzz, you have no neck. Buzz, your voice is messed up. Shut up, Buzz. Sit down, Buzz. It was fantastic.
That will be a fun interaction. I don't know how much interaction there will be, but there will be at least one bright moment in that on Saturday. We'll have the game for you right here on Fox Sports 910. John Lazor is with us. If I could transition over to football, because it is a new year, and while it's been official that Justin Fuente is the new head coach, now the new regime, I understand they're in the football offices, and I believe it was you telling me the other day, like, the paint's off the walls, the pictures are down. You said it kind of felt, for lack of a better word, weird, but the new crew was moving in.
Yeah, the new crew is in, and actually had the opportunity to meet the new director of football operations, and it's interesting the contrast. She is 31 and seems like she's phenomenally excited and just going to provide a spark to that program over there. And, yeah, I had the opportunity to sit down with Brad Cornelison. You can see that at Hokiesports.com. People don't seem to be enjoying the shirt that I was wearing that day, but I would like to point out that
we had some questions.
Short notice. Yeah, it was on short notice that those interviews were happening. Also, yeah, Galen Scott, I think that interview is going to play either today or tomorrow. That guy's a character, man, the new linebackers coach, former defensive coordinator at Memphis. Yeah, there seems to be an energy over there, and they're getting those offices back together, and they're moving in here in the next day or so. They're definitely in the Merriman Center. They had their first staff meeting, full staff meeting, I believe, with the entire staff now that Justin's put it together yesterday morning. Ran into Bud Foster walking into the building. So, yeah, there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm and excitement right now going forward now that everybody's there to fill out the roster, so to speak.
Yeah, with the exception of your night at the Roxbury shirt, I did enjoy your interview with Brad Cornelison.
You know what's funny about that?
What, your shirt or the interview?
Around you at least 10 times. That was one of my staple shirts in Richmond, and you always liked it. And I like it, too. It didn't come across well on camera, and I've got some issues with Hokie Vision's lighting techniques there. We were also sitting out in the practice facility, by the way, on the coldest day in months in Blacksburg. So I had kind of the fluffer coat I was wearing, and then right as we do the interview, I dropped the coat. And, yeah, it was not the best.
It's all right. I'll let you have a pass.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Are we doing the Night of the Roxbury thing? Save this for the lightning round. And by the way, the return of the dual lasers lightning round coming up in 10 minutes. All right, drop the music, Marcolini. Because on a serious note, I did enjoy the interview with Cornelison. And look, we're all learning about these new guys, and no one's an expert on Memphis football. But I guess the main thing that we can take away is this is the guy who was the co-offensive coordinator of this high, powerful offense at Memphis. Fuente trusted him there and trust enough of him to bring him along.
Yeah, absolutely. And he seems like a no-nonsense type guy in terms of I'm here to get these certain things accomplished, and these are the ways that we do that. And he just seemed like a very genuine guy. And, again, I only spent about 20 minutes around him, but you get that impression, and that's the same impression you got from Justin Fuente. Now, I will say Galen Scott, I think, is going to add a lot of personality on the defensive side, and they weren't necessarily lacking in that department with Charlie Wiles already. So, yeah, I can definitely see how these puzzle pieces are starting to fit together and what that identity of that coaching staff is going to be, and I'm excited about it. I definitely am.
A lot of people are excited about spring football because, well, you got Ford back, and I understand he got all bowl honors, and McMillan back coming off the season that he had. Don't know about Bucky Hodges, and I want to ask you about that in our lightning round, but the possibility of those three coming back, and I know you get reeled in with the question of who is the quarterback, but that makes the question even more intriguing in spring football of who's going to get the reins out of spring with this offense.
Yeah, and it's definitely sounds like it's going to be a competition, and I think it has to be, but certainly there's a lot of intrigue about the recent JUCO signee, Evans, and where he is. You know, it's one thing to look at the numbers that someone puts up at that level and to see where they come in physically, but I'd have to think that right now from an experience standpoint and a polish standpoint, he's probably a bit ahead of Dwayne Lawson, but Lawson's definitely going to get a look. I thought it was interesting. Frank Beamer on his final Tech Talk Live made a pretty candid argument for Brendan Motley. So potentially he's in the mix to at least work with that group as well. But, you know, I think that it's definitely going to be a spirited competition. But, you know, with this coaching staff, that's going to be decision number one in terms of how they're going to build this offense and how they're going to construct things for next year. But I think that they really like the options that they have going into spring. So there's going to be a lot of interest on spring camp this year, without question.
You can see John Lazor and his mustard John Travolta looking Saturday Night Fever shirt with Brad Cornelison on Hokiesports.com. Yes, that was a shot, and there's more to come because up next.
Take them now, buddy, because after the break, it's back to the future for you, my friend, and I think everyone remembers how these have turned out for you in the past.
And for those who don't, the real lightning round is back. We're starting off 2016 the right way. John Lazor, Wes McElroy, brought to you by Cowan Gates 11 attorneys on staff. Cowan Gates there for you in any case.